Listen, my my girlfriend's here. Can you clap your hands for her? Yes. Jamie is in the building.
Praise God. I have been preaching for about this is my sixth time in between the last week of July and the first week of August. So I am really spent right now. But I'm telling you, the word just keeps you alive, doesn't it? Amen. It just revives you. It's like that water that slaps you in the face in the morning. It's so good. The word is so powerful. Before I hit 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, I just want to, I believe I was praying this morning for you all. And I believe the Lord has allowed me to share with you a dream that I had that I believe the whole body of Christ can benefit from. I was... In the dream, I was with my ministry friends. You know, you always got to have a buddy. Come on now. I was with my ministry partners, you know, and you always got to have a buddy in case y'all all get in trouble together. You know what I'm saying? At least you ain't getting in trouble alone. Amen. at least they ain't going to kick you out the church by yourself. You know, yeah. You always can go with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And so I was with my ministry buddies and the car changed on us. We were about to go to a service, and we were in one of my brother's cars. His name is Frankie. We were in his car at first, and then all of a sudden, like a transformer, his car changed, and it went from like this regular, you know, docile car to like this beautiful black beautiful black car. I was like, whoa, this is, you know, this is pretty nice. You know, I can't afford this. In the dream, I'm looking like, okay, you know, because sometimes in dreams you see yourself in third person. And so we're driving to this destination, and we are actually at a church, huge church, massive church. And I walk in and I look at the program. Is that mother in the back? Hi, mother, how you doing? good to see you. I looked at the program, and on the program I was scheduled to preach. Now in the dream I had the foreknowledge that I knew I was going to preach. So it wasn't surprising for me, right? I'm like, okay, I've come to do what I've come to do. So I get there and people are looking at me like, you're not preaching today, you're singing. I said, what? I was scheduled to preach. You know, I really don't sing that much, not no more. I like, you know, now in the days of my life, I like to preach. And I get up there and I look at the pastor, and for some reason, it's funny because I'm in a Hispanic church. I'm not in a ordinary a English speaking church. Everybody speaks Spanish. And I'm like, okay, everybody speaks Spanish. I'm not here to preach. I'm here to sing. Now, how are you going to translate this song? How are we going to do this, right? And so I get up there and the pastor says, it's your time. I walk up to him. I'm like, pastor, there might be confusion because I did not come here to sing. I thought I was here to preach. And he said, no, you're here to sing. And actually, you're up right now. I'm like, okay, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, pray for me, Lord. Okay. I get up there and all of a sudden I begin to sing, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, and worthy is the Lamb. Come on, don't we love that? Worthy is the Lamb. You know, I've been listening to a lot of sermons by, you know, there was a movement in the olden days, the Jesus People's Movement, where those people were just in love with Jesus, man. That's what it was about for them. It was about Jesus. And so I began to sing that in the audience, and all of a sudden healing and deliverance and manifestations begin to break out in the audience. Amen. I mean, physical stuff. I mean, people were getting healed off of coming out of wheelchairs, and amazing things began to happen. And I was like, okay, so what is going on, Jesus? The Lord woke me up, and I actually had to preach that next day. And the Lord began to talk to me about the language barrier in the church. And that one of the things that the Lord is using in this 21st century to break the language barrier is worship. Amen. How many believe that? That there's a language barrier in the church. There's a racial barrier. There's a age barrier, generational barrier. And the main thing that's going to break those barriers is worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That we might not all agree on everything, but we all sing the same song. And the song is that worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't that excite? It excites me to know that. And you know, in the days to come, I believe we will see more and more different worship groups come together from different cultures, different backgrounds, different understandings. But they all came under the same banner. And that is, He is God and we love him and we worship him. Isn't that beautiful? Come on, you can clap your hands. We're in the house of God. That's awesome. And so I was so encouraged by the dream. I woke up and I just begin to weep in his presence because, you know, as the days get darker, we ought to get brighter. Come on. As the days grow dim, we ought to be those who be light in the earth. Come on. A city on a hill that is not hidden. You know, people ought to see us and see what God is doing in us and for us and around us. And, you know, it's not just the way we talk, it's the way we walk. They ought to see how much we love people. They ought to see how much we pray for people on the job, at the house. You know, it's very interesting. I'm a millennial. You all understand that we understand. I'm a millennial. It's very interesting, though, that a lot of millennials I preach at and I speak at campuses and different areas like that. And a lot of them have a language barrier in regards to God. And this is partly because their parents did not display God before them. Amen. You know, the easiest way to teach a second language is to speak it in the home. I come to preach today. Hallelujah. The easiest way to teach a second language is in the home. We must understand that if your children need to know the language of God, it must be taught, spoken, verbally in the home.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. So we look at 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I won't be long before you at all. I know when most preachers say that, they are lying. And they need to repent. But I am not that one. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. We're going to deal with the Shunammite woman this morning. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put it in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp." Somebody say bed. Table, chair, lamp. "Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day Elisha came. He went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her?" Elisha said and asked Gehazi, and he said, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, "You will hold a son in your arms." Father, I thank you. I recognize that I cannot preach this. I recognize that this mouth of clay cannot do what you can in a moment. Father, what I would explicate and take long, long times to do, Father, you can do it instantly. And so, Father, I pray now that you give your servant the words to say. Matter of fact, get your servant out the room. Hide me behind the cross so that your people can receive exactly what you want them to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As if you all don't know, I am, my grandmother is Reverend Hilda Covington, who oversees Sisterhood Incorporated as well as Wayside Community Church. I grew up in a house of worship, right? Since I could remember, I've known church, right? I've been able to articulate certain fashions in church, right? I've been able to understand certain nuances in the house of God, right? You know, it's interesting because if we are not careful, we can teach people church and not Jesus.
Exactly.
If we are not careful, we can actually teach people tradition and not Jesus.
Amen.
If we are not careful. And I was at another service not too long ago, and we're just talking, you know, we're family. I begin to express to them that, you know, it's time for the church not to make carbon copies, but individuals who are hard after God. We might not all worship the same.
but we worship the same God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I, you know, being a preacher, you walk in different streams and different people believe different things in you. And that's fine. You know, I don't mind. You speak in tongues. You don't. I really don't mind. I'm going to preach Jesus and go home. somebody say, amen. I'm just going to preach Jesus and walk out the door. But for some of us, it's interesting because it's almost like if they don't look like us, they must not be with him. And that's a dangerous ideology. That because they don't look like us, and I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking because they don't worship like us. Come on. Because, you know, I'm reserved, but that person is a little loud. They must be for show. You know how we are, right? You know how the human mind, you know how the way we think, you know how the way we develop. I'm not going to lie to you up here and say that my mind has not wandered to that thought as well. Now, sister, brother, you know, we all wander to that point. But I come to tell you today that God's body is so multifaceted.
Amen. Yes.
God is so beautiful that he designs diversity. And I and your pastor teaches me so often that diversity in a church doesn't signify unity. What signifies unity is the same mind, and it's under Christ.
Yes.
You realize that, yes. Right? So just because we have different cultural backgrounds and differences in the body doesn't mean we're unified. We're unified when they're under the same mind, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Right. And so it's interesting because as a young man, I have grown up in church. I could learn church. I learned how to do church. I learned how to hide within the guise of church. I learned how to wave my hand at the right time. Right. You know how to sing the song at the right moment. Right. You know how to do those little things in church. Well, amen. You know, the talk back, because the talk back, you know, it's pretty obvious when the preacher's almost to the end of his point and he needs a little talk back. Right. And so you learn these things. And my issue for me, I don't know about anybody else in the room, but my issue was I learned church, had no fellowship with Jesus, and I was dying.
Yes.
Amen.
I was dying. I was dying in my own religion. Come on. I was dying in my own tradition. I was dying in what I thought was God, but really it was just man-made tradition. I was sinking. And it's very interesting to know that you really need an encounter with Jesus. And how many remember that encounter? It makes all the difference. It makes all, because storms may come, trials may come, but that encounter will never leave you. Come on, hallelujah. That encounter will stick with you. Hallelujah. And it's very interesting. I've had many challenges in my life. And one of the challenges that I face and sometimes still daily is, Lord, am I really called to this? You know, sometimes I go back to the first fruits of my own life and be like, now, Lord, you know, this is a lot. And, you know, you look at, you think, well, did I bite off more than I could chew? Right. You know, what did I sign up for being who God has called me to be? But you know what you can? I someone in Dover, Delaware, when I was at school there, said to me, and he was a Methodist preacher. And he said to me, he said, Avery, life can take away many things from you, but life will never take away the call.
Amen.
Come on. Life can take away many things from you, but life can never take away the call. Amen. See, for some of us, the call has made a branding, lasting imprint on us so that when life comes and storms come and it rages in our life, we go back and say, I remember the encounter, so I know you're with me. I remember the call, so I know I'm going in the right direction. Do you all understand what I'm saying? There's something about having an encounter with the Lord that has a lasting impression.
Amen.
You know what? You ask Jacob about that encounter. You ask him what happens when he meets with the Lord. You ask him what his walk, what happens to the way he walks. There's something about when the Lord encounters you, you begin to walk different. Come on, you're not the same walk. You know the story of Jacob. He wrestled and somehow something happened to where God touched him. And the angel of the Lord touched him. And all of a sudden he's walking out there different. He's leaning a different way. And it's all because of an encounter.
Come on, you ask Saul, Paul. You ask him what happens to an encounter. All my life, all I've known is fighting. Come on, and now all of a sudden I'm preaching the gospel and they're beating me up. Willingly, I'm getting beat up. You never read in the scriptures where Paul fights back. But all his life, in his former years, all you know is that Paul was a fighter. Come on, Paul knew how to kill Christians. But all of a sudden, God just encounters him, changes him, and he moves differently. Is there anybody in the room who remembers the encounter? Hallelujah. Is there anybody in the room who could have went left, all the way left, left where you were supposed to go, but all of a sudden, you remember the encounter? And the encounter does something to you. It doesn't let you settle. You know, I'm learning in my life that there are things that are good, but they're not godly.
Yes.
I'm learning that. There are some things, there are some good offers that aren't godly offers.
Amen.
Why? Because they are not the way God wants you to go.
Yeah.
And we have to come to a point, and I'm just sharing, we're family. I'm, you know, I didn't come here with 3 points and a conclusion. We're family. I've come to talk to you. There's a moment where we all must realize that the good thing might not be the godly thing. And just because it looks good does not mean it's God. Everything that glitters is not gold. I'm learning that. It takes a while, because sometimes some of the offers can be really good. But if they take me away from the fellowship with the brethren, come on. Come on. If they take me away from doing what I've been called to do, we have to reevaluate. Is that really what God has called us to? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, I remember in my life, there were many times where people saw the call of God on my life. And I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here and we're going to go with it. There are many times where people saw the call of God on my life. They saw how God was using me. They saw the potential and they wanted to monopolize on the potential. And they had something in their mind, but God had another.
Amen.
You have to trust the voice of God. That comes with the encounter, the imprint of the voice. I know what he feels like, because when I encountered him, I remember that touch. Come on.
Amen.
Come on, I remember that touch. You know, it's something because there were moments where when Jamie and I were kind of dating, but not really, there was moments where I would look around because I would think I heard her voice. Y'all got to hear me. There's a level to know where you got somebody you really love. Come on, how many of us really been in love? You got somebody you really love. You be like, did I just hear that? Was that you on the road? No, that's them 3 a.m. calls y'all be doing all night. But you know that it's the love, right? It's that love, that encounter. Like I told you in the beginning, I've been really listening to a lot of Jesus people. You know, that movement that came out in the, I think it was 70s, 90s or something like that, where those people were just out there. They just loved Jesus. We got to get back to loving Jesus. We got to get back to loving Jesus. Everything else comes out of loving Jesus. You love your husband and wife better when you love Jesus. You teach your children better when you love Jesus. Come on, you honor your parents better when you love Jesus. Come on, you do great in school. I'm a witness when you love Jesus. We got to get back to worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Being fully Christ-centered. I'm going to get to this text and then I'm done. We look here in the Bible and it shows us the Shunammite woman. It's very interesting to know that this woman sees the Elijah afar off and recognizes there's something about this man. There's something about this man. I'm going to pray for us today. And my prayer is that our eyes would be open to see the holy things. That our eyes will be open to see those moments, those open windows, those doors of encounter that can happen. I pray that our eyes continually be open to see, oh man, I can talk to them now. They're ready. They're ripe for salvation. Come on. I pray our eyes be open to see, oh man, she really needs prayer.
Yes. Yes.
She's really struggling. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that the Lord, he said, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And you know, if you just ask, you can ask somebody else. But if you ask me, when you truly want to hear things of the Spirit, that comes from God. It comes from God.
Yes.
It comes from God. I can't train you to do it. Come on. Okay, Lord. I can't force you to do it. It takes worship. It takes diligence. It takes you being hungry. It takes you praying. It takes you reading. I pray that our eyes begin to see holy things. Amen. And so we look further. We recognize that this woman loves the prophet, and not in an adulacious manner, but she loves the prophet so much so that I don't want this minimal visitation. You know, I don't want these visitation rites. I want a habitation. I want to make a room for him. And you recognize in your life, some of us are satisfied right now with just a Sunday thing. Some of us are just satisfied with just a Tuesday thing or a Wednesday thing. But God is calling for a people that does not just want a visitation. I want them to live in me. I want them to live in me. I want a constant devotion. I want a constant fellowship. I want him always in my home. I want him always in my life. Amen. I just don't want visitation. I want a habitation. I want Lord to dwell with me. Talk to me while I'm washing dishes. Come see about me when I'm cutting the grass. Let me have encounters when I'm cleaning out the gutters. My God. I'm really, and if you hear me, please hear my heart today. I am really craving a fresh encounter. Come on, some of us need to crave that one more touch. That one, you remember the first time you got saved? That one more thing, that thing that says, oh my God, I remember it like it was yesterday. He touched me. Come on, the old folks saying, since I met the blessed Savior, hallelujah, he touched me. So, there's something about a habitation, right? There's something about the Lord being able to live in your home. It's very interesting because a lot of us can't really have too many people in our home. We have to clean the house first. Right? We have to make sure that the kids are going to behave. We have to sit the kids down and have the talk. Listen, auntie so-and-so is coming over. Y'all need to act right now, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to beat y'all in front of all these people. Y'all better act obedient, right? You know, my mother taught me in the era where there was levels to this, right? So there was whoopings, and then there was spankings, and then there was beatings. You know, pray our strength in the Lord. pray my strength in the Lord. But, Lord. But it's very interesting because I recognize that there are many people who want the Lord and want to invite him in, but they feel like, I am too dirty. My house is unclean. I don't feel like he can come in. Do you know what I did yesterday, preacher? Do you understand the thoughts that live in here, preacher? You know, it's amazing because you almost want to take out all the scriptures because that's a very valid excuse. And then until you read the adulterous woman. Come on. That's a very valid excuse. Until you look at the Galilean man who was stricken with mad demons. That's a very valid excuse. If I think the Bible gives more evidence that the Lord runs to those places instead of runs away from. The Bible gives way more evidence to denote that Jesus loves the dirty place because that is the place he can get the most glory.
Amen.
I mean, even Genesis says so, right? We realize that in the beginning, the earth was void and darkness covered the face of the deep. There was primordial waters in the ground. It was really formless, but the Spirit of God was there.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all got to hear me. But the Spirit of God was there.
Amen.
You know, for some of us, the excuse is, well, I don't feel like I am clean enough. But God is saying if my Spirit could hover over an empty, empty earth, that darkness filled it, I can surely live in you.
Amen.
I can surely speak a let there be light in you.
Yes.
Somebody's throw and run. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Has it been you one day where you were just so murky on the inside? You were just jacked up from the floor up. You didn't even understand how you got this way. Life situations and circumstances had you so blind. But all of a sudden, he lives in me. My God, hallelujah. All of a sudden, he takes the bitterness out of my heart. And the spirit dwells in me. All of a sudden, he takes unforgiveness and shame and regret and grief out of my heart. And he says, let there be light. Somebody say amen. It's interesting to know that the woman of God recognizes something that I believe the church needs to recognize. We need habitation. We need him. See, we give God a room, but I believe God in prayer this morning wanted to ask City of Refuge for something even better. Amen. Give him the whole house.
Amen.
Give him the whole house.
Amen.
Give him the whole, give him the title deed. You know, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. You know, my girlfriend said, I have a problem. I sweat so much. She said, you need to stop sweating like that. You recognize that he wants the whole house. You know, the Bible says that he already has the title deed to our bodies.
Amen.
He has it's on his name.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus
Amen.
Purchased your body.
Amen.
Let him have the whole house. Let him have every area. No more do not disturbs on the doors. No more danger zone. I don't think anybody should go in there. It is such a mess in here. You know, no more prefacing. No more saying, but Lord, you know, this is the issue. You know, the Bible talks about that Jesus all the time. He often asks, how long was this issue? Not to show that it takes a different kind of power, but he was showing that it takes the same name. That at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Come on now. It takes the same name. I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how unrenovated that space is in your heart. It's time for him to make a room. Okay, I'm almost done. I really am. So, Jesus, it's very interesting because the prophet Elisha, he says, I want to, okay, you made this home for me. You went through all this trouble. What can I do for you? You went through all this trouble. Let me backtrack. She put in the room a bed,
yes.
A lamp,
yes.
A chair,
yes.
And a table. Now, in your private study, I believe you pray to God, and because I don't believe anybody can know the scriptures without Holy Spirit. You know, I'm just that kind of guy. I don't, you know what I'm saying? The scriptures are to know Jesus, right? I'm just that kind of guy. I don't believe that, you know, even theologians, I love you. I love these guys. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit, it is such a surface level. The Holy Spirit just reveals the author so deeply, right? It's so touching. You're like, oh, my God. Wow, right? So in your private time, I would suggest that you pray about the bed, chair, table, lamp. But this is what I got when I was praying. Can I reveal this to you? When I was praying, the Lord said, I need a lamp, right? He was saying that is the fire. That's the fire. You realize that anything in the Testament, they didn't have electricity. So it wasn't a controllable light going on and off. Either it was on or it was off. Oh, did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
We couldn't dim them. God wants an uncontrollable fire within the place he has in your heart. So much so that you can't dim it when you're around wrong people. So much so that you can't dim it when you're around people. You're like, I pray that they don't think I'm crazy. God wants an unrelenting fire in your heart. So that's the lamp. He told me a chair. And I was like, Lord, a chair. He said, Avery, I want to sit in your heart. I want to have a seat of authority in your heart. I want to seat myself. I want a throne in your heart. You know, a lot of us recognize him as Savior. We love him as Savior. But then he's Lord. He's Lord and Savior, right? There's a moment where he has to have the throne in your heart. That we need to be so dependent on the Lord, it does not matter. Lord, what should I wear this morning? What should I wear this morning?
Come on. Come on. Lord, where should I go this morning? My God. He wants the seat of authority, right? So that's the lamp and that's the chair. He said a table. And I was like, Lord, he said a table. And then he told me, he said, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to sit at the table with you. Right? Right? Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. I want fellowship with you. I want to be able to talk with you. You know, I really do believe that people think prayer is a monologue. No, people think prayer is a soliloquy. Right? We get up there and we make these grand petitions in the King James language. We have to do it in King James or else it's not holy. It's not correct if it's not in King James. We have to get up there and say, Thou, O Lord. Right? Right? And that's fine if you do. I'm just joking. But the truth be told, prayer is a dialogue. In our prayer times, I pray that we take time out to listen. Right?
Yeah.
I pray. I love prayer. I run the prayer ministry at my grandmother's church. And there was a moment in all our prayer meetings where we do not speak. The music is playing and all we do is listen. Because there is a moment where that's what matters. His voice over mine. His desires over mine. His wants over mine. His way over mine. His will over mine. I have a plan, but he has the way. So I need to get out of the way. He said the table, the chair, the lamp, and then he said the bed. Now this is interesting, because this is twofold, and I'm just going to say this, because I believe Pastor A.B. would honor this. I believe that God is calling the church into a season of consecration. And the consecration comes with abstinence. I believe that. I believe that very strongly. I've been feeling that in my heart as I've been, that he's calling us to consecrate the bed place. You know, you who are married, this ain't for you. But for us who are single, it's time to consecrate ourselves. It's time to consecrate ourselves. And then part two of the bed place is intimacy. Right? The bedchamber is a place of intimacy, right? And it's interesting because I said, Lord, but the table is fellowship. You realize you can have fellowship without intimacy?
Yeah.
You realize that you can have fellowship without intimacy. I can talk to you, but you can't go but so far. I can speak with you, but it can only go but so far deep in me. God is calling us to a place of intimacy with him like never before. I believe in my heart of hearts, and I'm going to say this very emphatically, I believe he's calling us back. There was something in the Jesus People's movement that disappeared. It has to come back. And I believe what that is the love of Jesus. That I love him. That I love him. That he becomes everything I need. He becomes everything that fills me. Oh, I love him. Can we bow our heads this morning? Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. Can you just begin to talk to your God? Begin to open up your mouth and pray. Just begin to talk to your God. I love him. I love him. I love him. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I love him. Lord, I pray today that the areas of our heart where we have not surrendered to you, God, I pray this be the day. This be the day. This be the season. This be the moment. This be the hour. Father, I pray now
that your word would run swiftly and be glorified. That the areas in our heart where we have not given to you, where we have not made room, Father, now I pray in Jesus' name you manifest yourself in our hearts. Make room for yourself. Lord, I pray that what was unlocked in that Jesus people's encounter be loosed in Burlington City. The love of Jesus be lifted among us. The love of Jesus be lifted among us. Father, I pray now that as your word went forth, I pray, God, that it went down deep in the crevices of our hearts, in the areas where we have not surrendered to the Lord. And I say now, hallelujah, that it will manifest and grow. Every prayer, every thought. God, and I even hear you saying right now, we went through all this trouble. You want to do something for us. Lord, we will make room for you. We will make room for you. Some of us went through so much trouble in the last month, in the last week, and God, you caused the trouble so that we could make a room so that you could get the glory. Father, I pray now that as your word went forth, that it would touch the hearts of people who said, Lord, this place is too dirty. Lord, this place is unclean. You can't come here. Father, I pray now, God, that word will begin to break down the walls and the barriers and the fetters and the chains that would hold your people captive. Break our walls down. Destroy, God. Destroy the idols. Break our walls down. Get us open right now in the name of Jesus. Get us open. Get us open and get us hungry. Lord, and I finally pray that the language barrier be broken in the body of Christ at large. God, that the language between older and younger be broken. That the worship would go forth in the generations. And as the Bible declares, from generation to generation, they will sing that you are God and your mercy endures forever. Father, I pray now that the racial tension, the racial heightening in our nation would cease as worship rises. Father, as worship rises, let the racial reconciliation rise. Hallelujah. Father, now I pray that male and female language be broken now. Father, I pray that women and men both can have equal opportunity in the body of Christ. Amen. God, I believe that worship is going to break the barrier. Father, and I thank you that as we begin to see the worship revival move into another level, the worship increased throughout denomination, throughout culture, throughout experience, Father. Hallelujah. Whether Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist, God, that the worship would arise so that we can all be under the same banner. That you are God. And we love you. And now, Father, as this week progresses, I pray that your people would begin to look in the areas of their heart to see, where can I make more room? And where can you have all of it? Provide fellowship, provide intimacy, provide authority, God, and provide a fresh encounter. A fresh encounter. Lord, some of us need a fresh move, a new thing. Some of us can't go on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I feel that today. Some of us can't move forward unless you touch us again. Hallelujah. Unless you move on us one more time. Lord, for some of us, it's the give up. It's the final straw. It's the final frontier. God, it's the last of us, God. And what I believe you're doing, God, is you're saying, I'm about to give you a fresh encounter that's going to provide a second wind. We just prophesy that. A second wind. Send a fresh encounter, Lord. A fresh encounter in this room. A fresh encounter over your people. We just say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the fresh move of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fresh wind of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.